What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Winning once is hard enough.
The wait is over.
How sweet it is, the fruits of victory.
But this year's battle,
show the Giants who the real bosses are in the NL West,
is for back-to-back.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's do back-to-back. Conquer for Kirsch.
Welcome to Postseason Dodger Talk.
I'm grateful for your show.
And I love listening to you, especially on the game.
Your chance to sound off on the boys in blue. Call the show at 866-987-2570.
Without you guys, there's no Dodger Talk.
LA Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navien Tankless Water Heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Now your host for Postseason Dodger Talk, Tim Kates.
The boys in blue have landed in the ATL as we get ready for the National League Championship Series. Hi, everybody. And welcome in to Off-Night Dodger Talk here on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks for being with us. Tim Kates here until 8 o'clock tonight. Phone lines are wide open for Dodger fans. 866-987-2570. 866-987-2570. Great time if you want to jump on board and talk Dodger baseball. 866-987-2570. The Dodgers still basking in the win last night in San Francisco. We could talk about that as well. What a win it was in Game 5 of the NLDS. Cody Bellinger, the big RBI single in the top half of the ninth inning. And then that bullpen gate swung open, and out came Max Scherzer to pitch the bottom half of the ninth inning last night at Oracle Park. A questionable check swing, called strike three, game over. But the Dodgers will take it. They move on. They're going to win that game anyways with Scherzer on the mound. Two outs, two strikes. And the Dodgers celebrate last night in San Francisco. Up early today. They flew cross-country this afternoon. Our David Vasse with this Dodgers team in Atlanta. They landed a few hours ago. Some went directly to the ballpark. Some went directly to the team hotel. Some players getting workouts at Truist Park in Atlanta, I think is the name of it. It keeps changing with the different corporate sponsors, but some got workouts with some of the strength and conditioning staff and coaching staff that are with them. There's also a huddle at the team hotel with manager Dave Roberts in the front office and all the advisors to get ready and go over the game plan for this Atlanta Braves team. Game one of this NLCS is tomorrow night right here on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports. That'll be a 5:07 first pitch from Atlanta, 4 o'clock with Morongo Casino, Dodgers on deck. Game 2 will be Sunday afternoon, 4:30 first pitch, off day on Monday. Then the series will come to Los Angeles for Games 3, 4, and if necessary, Game 5. Start times have been announced and tickets are on sale at Dodgers.com. Again, tickets on sale for Games 3, 4, and if necessary, Game 5 at Dodgers.com. Game 3, the first game in Dodger Stadium, is it's been announced. It'll be a 2 o'clock first pitch. So an afternoon game at Dodger Stadium for Game 3. Game 4 will be at 5 o'clock. Game 5, if necessary, will also be at 5 o'clock. So you got the schedule. You know what's going on. Game 1 and 2 in Atlanta coming up this weekend. Then the series will shift back to Dodger Stadiums for Games 3, 4, and 5. First pitch tomorrow night at 5:08 in Atlanta. 866-987-2570 is our number. 866-987-2570. 780-489-9872-570. Coming up later on in the hour, my good friend Kevin McAlpin is going to join us from Atlanta. He works and covers. He's the David Vassay of the Atlanta Braves. Kevin, a longtime radio guy, and got to know him in Philadelphia working with Tony Bruno. He is the Braves reporter for the Braves Radio Network and 680 The Fan. He just did a big Braves NLCS show down there on their flagship. You also see him on the MLB Network. He is the David Vassay of the Atlanta Braves. Good guy. Knows all about this Atlanta Braves team. Follows them, covers them, travels with them. Kevin McAlpin from the Braves Radio Network will join us later on this hour. Find out more about this Atlanta Braves team, because on paper, still see a lot of the same familiar names that we saw in the NLCS last year in the bubble in Arlington. You see the Ian Andersons. You see the Max Frieds. You see the Charlie Mortons. You see the Freddie Freemans of the world. But Ronald Acuna Jr. blew out his knee. He is not with the team. Mike Soroka, he is out for the year as well with an injury. They made some trades before and at the deadline to bolster this team. And some of the moves have paid off. And one in particular has paid off in a big way in Jock Peterson. That's right. He went to the Chicago Cubs in the offseason, signing that two-year deal. He has now been traded to the Atlanta Braves and having himself a very good September and October. And once we know the calendar flips to October, Jock Peterson turns into a different player. And he has had a very nice run here so far in the postseason for the Atlanta Braves in the NLDS, and got a couple starts, got a couple of big pinch hits, including a pinch hit home run early in the season in that series against the Milwaukee Brewers to help them prevail in the NLDS, beat the Brewers, and now square up against the Dodgers in the NLCS. It all starts tomorrow night at 5:08. So we'll hear from Kevin McAlpin. We'll get to your phone calls. A lot of people want to weigh in. I got one line open on this Friday night. If you want to jump on board and talk Dodgers, we can recap that game last night between the Dodgers and the Giants. What a finish it was. What a game it was. What a series it was. Vic the Brick has said it's the greatest game in the history of the Dodgers-Giants rivalry. I haven't been around that long. The rivalry's been around since the 1890s. I've been around since the 1970s. So I don't really have the history of watching all these games going back before that. Certainly know the history, certainly respect the history, certainly know the names and the great moments. I wasn't around. But you can make a case that in the postseason, last night, with everything on the line to move forward in the postseason, lose or go home, the two teams, 100-plus wins, 107 for the Giants, 106 for the Dodgers. The fact that they were so back and forth stat-wise, player-wise, record-wise, everything was so even or separated by a game or two or separated by a win or two, that this was the most evenly matched game series between the Dodgers and Giants, and it maybe was the greatest game last night. Certainly didn't end in a great fashion, but it certainly ended in the Dodgers' favor last night up at Oracle Park. And before we hear from manager Dave Roberts and get to your phone calls, I said it earlier today with Steve Sachs when we were on from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. The coolest thing about last night's win for the Dodgers, certainly winning and moving on is great, but to be able to celebrate on the field of the opponent, the San Francisco Giants, and to watch the crowd have to file out slowly because you are celebrating on the field with championship hats and T-shirts, and you are sitting together on a group in front of the mound taking a team picture with the scoreboard and the bay in the background. That's their home stadium. That's their field, and the Dodgers got to celebrate on their field in San Francisco in a respectful way, of course. And then got to go in the clubhouse and have the typical post-game celebration with the beer and the champagne and just having a great time and celebrating responsibly and celebrating the accomplishments of a hard-fought series and a win and moving on to the NLCS. To do it in the visiting clubhouse when they can hear you and Giants personnel can hear you, and to do it again in front of the Giants fans who have to file out of that place last night. To me, that was cool. To me, that was a great part of this game and this series, was to be able to win the clinching game on Oracle Park's field there in San Francisco. I thought that was awesome. All right, we'll get to your phone calls coming up in a couple of minutes. We'll also hear from Kevin McAlpin from the Braves Radio Network. But about 2 hours ago once the Dodgers landed and got settled in at the team hotel and some players over at Truist Park during a workout. Manager Dave Roberts did an off-day media session, and here's part of that just a little bit ago.
Do you have a game one starter yet?
We don't, Juan. The guys are actually at the ballpark right now while we're getting ready for some staff meetings. They're from Max to Julio to Walker, relievers. They're going there. They're going to play catch, get some treatment, and see how they feel. So I should know later tonight how Max feels. If not, we're going to have to bullpen it and probably push guys back.
And when you say push guys back, like what's kind of the situation with Walker? Obviously, he pitched on short rest. Can you kind of see him getting pushed back to maybe a game three, get him an extra day?
Right now, if Max were to be pushed back, yeah, that could happen.
And last one for me, with Clayton not being available, obviously in a 5-game series, you can kind of deploy some different options. But in a 7-game series, you probably need a 4th starter. Kind of, how do you kind of see that playing out? Is it more of a bullpen game, or you see a guy like Tony Gonsolin kind of stepping up?
Gonsolin would be a big part of that.
You know, you mentioned yesterday after the game that how confident you were that there wouldn't be, that your team wouldn't have a letdown. You know, and I'm just kind of wondering, you know, as a manager, when you know your guys are kind of battle tested, like we've talked about before, and that they're going to show up, and, you know, maybe they get beat on that day because, you know, maybe the approach is wrong or whatever, but you kind of seem to know that your guys are going to show up. They're not going to choke. How much does that make it easier as a manager, knowing that you kind of don't have to guess who might be able to handle the moment and who might not be able to?
I think that's it's something that's like the X factor, because I think that with baseball, you just don't know who's going to be the who's going to be the better team that day. But I think that the variable of a letdown emotionally, the moment getting too big for a potential player to, I do believe that I have all the confidence that that's, we wouldn't be victim of that. So I think that that certainly, you know, we can prepare all we can for a particular game, but knowing that I don't have to worry about that is a huge kind of confidence. It just gives me added confidence in our guys.
Dave, just a couple of questions about matching up against the Braves. Do you feel like in their minds, this is some sort of redemption series for them, considering how you guys came back to beat them, and how different of a club are they from a year ago?
I don't think that, I mean, they might not say it, but truth of the matter is that they get another opportunity to get to the World Series, and they got to go through us. So I think that it is another, whether you want to call it opportunity or redemption, certainly it's on their minds. A lot of the same guys that we saw last year on the same club, but certainly when you don't have Acuna, Ozuna, it's a different big pieces that they didn't have, that they don't have this year. But they've, you know, Riley's had a huge year, and obviously Jock's in the mix, and they potentially could get Soler back later in the series. So it's a different club, but it's still a lot of the same pieces.
What do you have to hear from Max or see? I guess maybe see from Max. To have him start or not start tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to tell you he's ready to go no matter what.
It's just he's going to go out there, play catch, get treatment, and if he says he's good enough to go and feels like he can take down a start, then he'll be our game one starter.
When it comes to the Braves, Jock Peterson's on the other side now. Do you think you have the inside track on shutting down Jocktober?
Gosh, we'll see. I think it's real. He's always come up with big hits in October. He's going to be tough. We're going to have to find a way to get him out.
Hey, Dave, just going back to last year's series real quick. I mean, the spot you guys were in trying to chase down that first title as a group to come back in that series the way you did. I mean, how much did that just help you guys, you think, eventually get over the hump and go on and win the World Series last year?
It was, you know, I think that the World Series was the World Series, and you still got to win 4 games, and to not take that lightly at all. But that NLCS and coming back from that 3-1 deficit was everything. And that game 7 was just as important, if not bigger than game 6 in the World Series. So, Yeah, so I think that getting through that certainly gave us that momentum and confidence that we can win four more games with our backs against the wall as they were.
All right, there's Dave Roberts just talking to the media about an hour and a half ago in Atlanta via Zoom as the Dodgers have landed in Atlanta this afternoon. Some players going through a light workout. You can hear manager Dave Roberts there talking about the rematch because these two teams, as we all know, squared off in the NLCS down in the bubble in Arlington last year. The Braves up 3-1. They forced a game 7. Dodgers were down, come back and win that game. A lot of the same familiar faces, a lot of the same arms that the Dodgers saw in that NLCS a year ago are again with the Atlanta Braves. And it'll be first up, Max Fried, the left-hander out of Harvard-Westlake. The 27-year-old will get the start in game 1. We'll see Charlie Morton. We'll see Ian Anderson. Don't know who their fourth starter is in this rotation right now, but those are the three-headed monster that the Atlanta Braves have been riding. Freddie Freeman, Ozzie Albies, Will Smith, their closer. Austin Riley, as Dave Roberts mentioned, has had a big season. Dansby Swanson, their shortstop. We all know Adam Duvall back with the team. And he mentioned Jorge Soler, who they acquired at the trade deadline. He's actually on the COVID list right now and may not actually play in this series, depending on how long this NLCS goes. So there was Dave Roberts talking to the media. That's the latest from Atlanta. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get to your phone calls. Coming up later on this hour, Kevin McAlpin, Braves Radio Network. He'll join us. We'll find out more about this Atlanta team. They won 88 games. They won the NL East. But how good are they here in 2021? We'll find out from Kevin. Your phone calls. I got a line open if you want to jump on board. It's off-night Dodger talk. Tim Cates, Ronnie Fascio, and you here on AM570 LA Sports. Thanks for being with us on this Friday night.
This is Dodger talk. On your home of the world champion Dodgers. Follow us on Instagram at AM570 LA Sports for more Dodger content.
The home of the Dodgers.
AM570 LA Sports.
Off-night Dodger talk continues here on your home of the Dodgers, AM570 LA Sports. Tim Cates with you here until 8 o'clock. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Kevin McAlpin, Braves Radio Network and radio reporter for 680 The Fan. You see him on the MLB Network as well. He is the David Vasse of the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. So we'll find out more about this Atlanta Braves team, how they got here, winning the NL East with 88 wins. Well, you heard from Dave Roberts, ahead of game 1 of this NLCS. First pitch is at 5:08 tomorrow. Still no official word on who the game 1 starter will be. If everything checks out okay, Max Scherzer will get the start for the Dodgers. It is Max Fried getting the start for the Atlanta Braves. The big left-hander to Harvard-Westlake High School scheduled to go for Atlanta. All right, let's go out to the phones. We go to Noah in Huntington Beach. Noah, you are first up here on Off-Night Dodger Talk. Noah, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Can you hear me?
I hear you. Hey, you're great. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, whatever the outcome of the ALCS, I think the Dodgers will easily defeat the Braves. And I think the script is so perfect to beat either the cheaters down in Houston or the cheaters of the East.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on that game right now, Noah, and I appreciate it. The Red Sox are beating the Houston Astros in game 1 of the American League Championship Series. That game is being taken place in Houston tonight, the first game. Old friend alerts, Kike Hernandez had a great defensive play and then a solo home run for the Boston Red Sox. So he continues to have great Octobers, even out of a Dodger uniform now with the Boston Red Sox. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out of the American League, since those were the two teams that cheated in 17 and 18, and the Dodgers played in 17 in 18. But the Dodgers have no easy task against the Atlanta Braves. This is a team that, yeah, they won 88 games. They won the NL East. They just beat the Brewers, though, in their divisional series. So this is a team that's rested, ready to go. They don't necessarily have the depth that the Dodgers have. And on paper, the Dodgers would seem to have a better roster, talent-wise, than the Atlanta Braves. But the Braves could swing it. I mean, they got guys that can hit for power. They got Austin Riley, who's a thumper at third, hit like 33 home runs this year, a great defensive player. Ozzie Albies is really good. Dansby Swanson can swing it. Travis d'Arnaud, the former Dodger who was with the team for like 2 weeks, has settled in there as the everyday catcher for the Atlanta Braves now in his second year there. You know, they got three guys that can start, and they gave the Dodgers fits last year. Charlie Morton saw the Dodgers a couple years in the postseason. Max Fried last year, and Ian Anderson. Remember that guy, Ian Anderson, that young kid who started for the Atlanta Braves last year? He had the beard, looks older than he really is. He's like 23 years old now, finally. But a year ago was really good, hard-throwing right-hander against the Dodgers. This isn't going to be a walk in the park by any means. This is a good Atlanta Braves team. Jerry in Eastvale, welcome to Off Night Dodger Talk. How you doing, Jerry?
Hey, Tim. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing today?
Good, good, brother, good. Hey, I just got a couple things to say real quick. I noticed that all day long when I listen to the radio, talk radio in San Diego and here as well, no one really mentioned how many runs the Dodgers had in the series as opposed to how many runs they had the Giants had. If you look at those two numbers, then it's good evening, it's good night between the runs scored. Secondly, which is amazing, is everybody talks about how Robert switches everything around and plays different people in different positions and calls these weird shots. Well, that's not really new baseball. That's old baseball. When you were a kid and playing in Little League, everybody played. Everybody got to play position and play. So he plays that type of ball. He's very giving, and he's blessed for that. And when he lets everybody play like that, I think that really affects his karma. And that's the reason why the Dodgers.
Yeah, Jerry, I appreciate the call, and I sort of understand your first point there. But the problem is you don't add up total runs at the end of a series and whoever has the most wins. I mean, certainly you can blow out a team one game and then you can get shut out the other game. And the Dodgers got shut out in two of the four games against the San Francisco Giants. So that I understand they outscored them overall, but that's not a great barometer to really gauge how the series went. And the other point about Dave Roberts coaching like it's Little League, I mean, come on. They play a lot of guys because they do a lot of matchups, and it's a new philosophy. It's not because he's a great guy and wants to make sure everybody gets an AB and their families can take a picture with him on the field. That's not the case at all. All right, Mark in Long Beach is next up here on Off Night Dodger Talk. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well. I just got back from San Francisco about an hour ago.
Nice. Did you fly or drive? And how upset were you?
I drove.
Okay, so
I got tickets at the last minute. So
nice.
Not enough time to get airline tickets. I just stopped with the wife in the car.
How was the atmosphere there last night, Mark? How was it after the game, after everybody cleared out and you got to celebrate on the field?
It was pretty amazing. You know, we were along the first baseline, and there was a lot of Dodger fans in that particular section. And to watch the Giant fans go into a total depression was just priceless. Priceless. And, you know, you could see that the Giant fans were more nervous. You know, like, I've been to two World Series games. I've been to a bunch of playoff games. And Dodger fans are relaxed. They're laid back. We're L.A. But the Giant fans, they couldn't sit down. They were up the whole game. And they just could not relax. And I think they kind of knew that doom and gloom was coming. And to see them file out of the stadium while we're sitting there high-fiving each other, and you know, a guy next to me took off his shirt, pulled up Max Scherzer. It was bedlam for us in that section where the Dodgers were.
Yeah.
But seeing the depressed Giant fans. Now, I walked from my hotel at the Hyatt Regency to the stadium and then back.
How'd that go?
I have to say, I had no problems. And the Giant fans that I walked with and talked to, they were great.
Nice.
They were good people. I had no problems with them.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had a great time, Mark. Thanks for checking in and giving us a firsthand account. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your Friday night, and we'll check in at another time. I appreciate it. Let's go to Christian in Bellflower is next up here on Off Night Dodger Talk as the Dodgers advance to the NLCS to take on the Bravos beginning tomorrow night. How you doing, Christian?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm okay. I'm excited. I'm a little anxious to see what this Braves team's going to look like starting in game one tomorrow.
I'll tell you what, I feel the exact same way. I'm in my car, too. It's an AM 570 because I'm wishing we were playing tonight. But I just want to say a few things. The first being, there's a lot of new fans who are saying that Atlanta Braves are going to be an easy sweep or an easy win. I don't personally believe that. I mean, I love my team, but more importantly, I love baseball. And it seems like these Braves got to have a lot of momentum going with them, you know?
They do.
But with that being said, I feel like we have momentum on our side. We won in a very important wild card game, and then we came through on a tough five-game series against the Giants, and we pulled through victoriously, you know? Yeah. It wasn't easy at all, but they got the job done. But personally, I feel like as long as we keep the energy going and we start the game off solid and we keep our heads up, I think we got this.
All right, Christian. I'm confident, too. I'm feeling their vibe. I appreciate it. I'm with you. I'm not overlooking this Braves team at all. This tells you a lot about Atlanta. They made it to the NLCS a year ago. Good team. Talented team. They repeated in getting back to the NLCS for a second straight year. They won their division. They beat the Milwaukee Brewers, who won the Central. And here they are, rested and ready to go and healthy. Outside of Soler, who's got COVID and may miss the first three or four games of this series, this team, what you see here, is what they've been the last 2 months since they made three or four trades before and at the deadline to get deeper and to get more experience and get some more power in the lineup, including Jock Peterson. So this is a good team. This isn't a team that, we only won 88 games. We won 106. Oh, we already knocked off the Giants. They were the best team in the National League. Can't think like that. You can't think like that at all. All right. Al in Rancho Cucamonga is next up here on AM570. Hi, Al.
Hey, how are you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Real quick, just super, super static about everything. And you know what? Honestly, I really, really believe, I kind of disagree with this guy now, but I really believe that we're going to do it in five, man. I think we're going to take it tomorrow. No doubt. Tomorrow we'll take it. They're going to come back on Sunday. Maybe they're going to take that one. But we're going to come on and shut it out, man. That's it. Three games out here in L.A., there's just no way they can beat us out here. They have momentum. So do we. We got a great bullpen, man. I mean, it's just sad that, you know, Blake only went one inning. But, man, that guy's lights out, man. And it's just one of those things. I'm so confident and we're excited and just can't wait. And one last thing I was going to ask you, just in case if you know this answer. Yesterday, when the huddle came in to the mound with Julio, there was Belly, of course, Turner, you know, Justin, Cody, and Dave Roberts came in. Who translates? I mean, does Will Smith speak a little Spanish? Because I know Julio doesn't. So, you know, it's funny. I mean, I don't know if you knew that or not. I'd ask you that. But that's it, man. I'm out. And I'm happy for the Dodgers. But,
I appreciate it, Al. Thanks for checking in. I think baseball language, Julio can speak. I don't think he's great at speaking English. Certainly his second language. But he understands, he can communicate, they can have conversations with him out there on the mound, and from what I understand, doesn't need a translator out there. Sherwin in Brentwood is next up here on AM570 LA Sports. Hi, Sherwin, how you doing? Sherwin.
I'm doing wonderful. Yourself?
I'm okay. I'm ready for this series. I'm not overlooking the Atlanta Braves, but at the same time, I feel really confident about where this Dodgers team at, where their head's at, and the way they're playing. Certainly, I'm feeling good.
I agree with you, but I have a big B-U-T to throw into that, a butt.
Ooh, boy.
Because that's just the way I'm built.
Okay.
I'll be 82 years old at the end of this month, so I've seen a hell of a lot. Tim, I'm going to say something that you're probably going to find not offensive, but somewhat the suspect.
All right.
And then I'm going to say something that I think is terrific with respect to yourself. So the terrific thing is you do a wonderful job with Sacks
in the morning.
You and Steve Sacks do a wonderful job. You've got knowledge of baseball almost as good as mine. And the only difference is I'm 82 years old and you're not 82 years old. There's the difference. The thing that I wanted to take exception with you on is a little minor deal. So I'm visually impaired.
Okay.
So audio means everything in the world to me.
Absolutely.
And I picked up on little nuances.
Okay.
A few hours ago, you made reference to a little segue about David on the field, and he was going around, going around interviewing this one and that one, and he picked up with Max, okay? And earlier this morning, I heard David Bass say, I forget where it was exactly, but I heard him.
Okay.
And he specifically said he could not catch up with Max. Max's people, whatever that means, sort of shut him out of the equation and so forth.
Huh.
And you specifically made reference a few hours ago that Vassay had definitely not interviewed Max, but
yeah.
he was on the field and picked up some stuff from Max and so forth. So it sort of gave the impression that David Vassay, who likes to be a name dropper and an insider,
well, a little bit. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, Sherman. And let me tell you how it works is that we've got multiple places that we're able to get audio from different sources, and the number one source is David Vassay. So when I got in this morning and I saw Max Scherzer audio and I went and listened to it, it sounded very much like the rest of the stuff that Dave was able to get. And, you know, there's a lot of times it's one-on-ones, and there's a lot of times where it's media group sessions where it's everybody surrounding a person. And then there's other times where it's a Zoom media conference. And I thought this was Dave talking with him and the rest of the reporters gathered around Max Scherzer.
It's irrelevant. Last thing I'm going to say to you, I told you, you do a wonderful job. Don't take so much crap from those guys in the afternoon.
I won't.
I think they push you around too much. Have a nice evening. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Sherwin. I appreciate that. Thank you for checking in. Thank you for the nice words. I appreciate it. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back because I see he's on hold. Kevin McAlpin from the Braves Radio Network. Late night for him. Checking in with us, talking little Braves Dodgers as we get you ready for game one of the NLCS. We'll get to your phone calls right after that. But up next, we'll dive deeper into this matchup. Game one, Dodgers, Braves. Of course, we're your home of the Dodgers, AM570 LA Sports.
Don't miss a moment of World Champion Dodger Talk. Your chance to talk about the world champs is here. 866-987-2570. Hear past episodes of Dodger Talk on the iHeartRadio app.
Dodger Talk continues here on this Friday night. Thanks for being with us as the Dodgers have advanced to the NLCS. They do it in five games last night with the 2-1 win over the San Francisco Giants. Today, a day of travel for the Dodgers as they flew to Atlanta, landed, went straight to the ballpark. A lot of the players getting a workout in tonight off the field. Some players deciding to get treatment only. The coaches gathering together, getting the game plan ready for this seven-game NLCS, which starts tomorrow night right here on AM570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers. First pitch is at 5:07. And joining us now, Braves reporter for the Braves Radio Network, 680 The Fan. You see him on MLB Network, of course. He is Kevin McAlpin, and he joins us now here on Dodger Talk. Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
Tim, I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. This Dodgers team's feeling good coming off that Game 5 win last night, but taking on an Atlanta Braves team that a lot of Dodger fans out here didn't pay attention to during the regular season. They met six times during the 2021 regular season. The Dodgers won 4 of 6, but a lot of Dodger fans wondering, how in the world did the Braves get back to the NLCS? No Ronald Acuna, no Soroka. What happened?
Yeah, you know, it's sort of that next man up mentality, and they just found ways to win ball games in the second half, and it took them 111 games to get to the sunny side of 500, which is probably the most remarkable stat of the whole season, is that they just could not get over the hump and get over the 500 mark. But once they did, they never looked back. And a big reason why is all the moves they made at the trade deadline. Mm. Of course, they bring back Adam Duvall, who's been huge for this offense. They add Jock Peterson, a guy that you're certainly very familiar with out there in Los Angeles. You know, they bring in Richard Rodriguez over from the Pittsburgh Pirates, their former closer. You know, you add Jorge Soler, who unfortunately right now for the Braves is on the COVID list, but he has had a huge impact at the top of the order. And then Eddie Rosario, a guy who 2 years ago hit 30-plus home runs. So they had a number of holes. They went from basically a lack in depth in the outfield to almost having too many outfielders. A good problem to have, but really they've just sort of taken that mentality of, you know what? No one's going to feel sorry for us. We can't feel sorry for ourselves. We got to try to find ways to win ball games. And, it, you know, look, I'll say this, Tim. It didn't hurt that the Mets had a disastrous second half of the season. It didn't hurt that the Phillies couldn't figure it out down the stretch. But look, they capitalized. They took advantage. They were within striking distance. And again, once they got over 500, they never looked back. And they've got a really strong mentality, a great makeup. It's a great group of guys, and that's a big reason why they're right back here in the NLCS again.
Kevin, what has Joc Pederson meant to this Braves team?
Well, again, I think you guys have probably seen it a whole lot more than we have, but I mean, he's a character in the clubhouse. Yeah. You know, the guys love him. He comes over right at the All-Star break, as a matter of fact. He was a very early addition. You know, yeah. Alex Anthopoulos didn't want to mess around. He wanted to start making moves, you know, before the asking prices got higher, before more teams got involved in bidding wars. And, you know, Joc was the guy that was hitting leadoff for this team for the first couple of weeks he was here. Hasn't started a whole lot here lately, but he's been a huge bat to have off your bench. He had a really nice division series, couple of home runs, both coming off the bench. And then, you know, I think you're going to see more of him in this NLCS. I think mostly because he knows a lot of what these Dodger pitchers are going to try to attack him with. So he's been a character on the field. He's been a character off the field. I'm sure you guys have seen the pearl necklace he's sporting here the last few weeks. And that's sort of become a thing. And I'll say this, Tim, jewelry stores in the Atlanta metro area, they're selling more pearls than I think they've sold in a long, long time, given how successful he's been here in Atlanta.
What is the meaning behind the pearls? Is that just Joc being Joc with the mohawk and being funny?
That's as far as I can tell, it's Joc being Joc.
Okay.
There's really no way to describe it. You know, he dyed his hair as well. I think it was right after he was out in L.A. a few weeks ago. And it's one of those, you know, it's sort of become a story, even though he didn't want it to become a story. And he gets asked about it, and he just doesn't really have a good answer for it.
Kevin McGalpin is our guest, Braves reporter for the Braves Radio Network, 680 The Fan. You see him all over the MLB Network as well. Max Fried, we know him here from Harvard-Westlake High School. The 27-year-old left-hander will get the start in Game 1. Dodgers certainly very familiar with him. He's familiar with the Dodgers. Dodgers have struggled against him over the course of his young career. Charlie Morton is still in that rotation. Ian Anderson, who they saw in the postseason last year down in the bubble in the NLCS. Those three guys have given the Dodgers fits, especially going back just the last postseason.
And the Braves rotation from this time last year to where it is now is in so much better shape. I mean, you had guys like Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson and A.J. Minter, who's a reliever. Remember, he had that start against the Dodgers where he struck out 7 batters in 3 innings. I mean, the Braves were really, when I tell you they were holding this rotation together with, you know, with duct tape and chicken wire, I mean, they were really just trying to figure out. I mean, there were nights, Tim, there were nights where you would have Brian Snitker do his pregame media session, and it was, hey, who's going to start tomorrow night? And he would say, I don't know. I'll tell you after the game. Well, we need to get through this one first. So they're in really good shape. You know, Fried's had a great year. He's had a great 3 years, really. The only pitcher in baseball with more wins than Max Fried over the last 3 years is Garrett Cole. So shows you the exclusive company that he's a part of. You know, Charlie Morton, big game pitcher the last few years, 37 years old, but he's gotten better with age.
Yeah.
And then Ian Anderson at 23 has already made 5 career postseason starts. So 1 through 3, they feel good. The big question I have now is, what in the heck do you do games 4 and 5? I think that'll be a situation that they'll just have to try to see and figure out how they get through the first 3 games first.
How are the Braves fans feeling going into this NLCS? Is it, the Dodgers are coming? Or, the Dodgers again, now we're going to knock them off this year after letting them come back down 3-1 last year?
I think a lot of folks here in the Atlanta metro area were sitting up with their Giants hats on last night watching the game at Oracle Park. I mean, I think the mantra around here is, man, anybody but the Dodgers. But, look, and the players will tell you the same. You know, you want to have that opportunity to try to beat the best. And I think we can all agree that the Dodgers the last few years have been, you know, the best team in baseball. And obviously, you know, their lineup speaks for itself. Their pitching staff was already terrific. And you add Max Scherzer in there. I mean, there's a lot of jealousy going around where it's like, man, why can't we have a couple of those guys? But I think that, you know, I don't want to say it's a measure of revenge, but I do think there's some fans that are still a little sour that, you know, you let a 3-1 lead get away last year. You let it fall apart. You'd love to see them do it again. But believe me, I think that even though the Braves would have had to start on the road, I think fans would have absolutely taken the Giants over the Dodgers. But hey, we'll see what they can do here starting tomorrow night.
Kevin, I appreciate you staying up late on this Friday night. Looking forward to a great NLCS. It gets underway tomorrow night. We'll have it right for you here on AM 570 LA Sports. Hope we can catch up again next week during the rest of the series.
Always a pleasure, Tim. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you jumping on. Kevin McAlpin from the Braves Radio Network. Braves reporter, travels with the team for 680 The Fan. You see him on MLB Network as well. So this Braves team looks very familiar. A lot of the same names from a year ago outside of Ronald Acuña Jr., who tore up that knee and is not with this team during this postseason run. But a lot of the same names, a lot of the same faces that took this Dodgers team to a Game 7 in the NLCS and was up 3-1 down in the bubble in Arlington. Mike in L.A. is next up here on Off Night Dodger Talk. Welcome, Mike. How you doing? Mike, go ahead. They catch up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I enjoyed listening to you, Tim, man. You give a lot of good takes.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
And I enjoy Dodger Talk. But I just wanted to say that, you know, growing up in the 70s and 80s, mm-hmm. you know, I never hated the Giants. And the reason why is because they weren't relevant. You know, the Giants and the Dodgers came to California the same year. Mm-hmm. And they just won their first World Series like a decade ago. And for me, this is new, this rivalry. I understand it's good for the game, but we've been stepping on their heads on our way to winning National League pennants and World Series for years. We've been doing it since they came to California. And I think it's a little overrated, this rivalry thing, because they were bad for so long. And I guess I can't just turn it on and just start hating the Giants like everybody else do.
Yeah.
It did leave a bitter taste in my mouth when they won those titles. But, you know.
Well, it's all in the past now, Mike, because they've eliminated the Giants, and we've moved on now to the NLCS. I appreciate your look back at the history through your eyes of the Giants and Dodgers through the 70s and 80s. But, you know, it's always been a rivalry. It's been a rivalry going back to Brooklyn. It goes back to the 1890s. It goes back to these two organizations hating each other and the Dodgers unable to get over the hump against the New York Giants for many years. And then finally able to get past them and get to World Series, it's definitely a rivalry. And, you know, there's lean years, there's really good years, and this has been a great year for both organizations. Isabel, Anaheim, Izzy, I took your front of the lineup pass away from you this morning. You said you didn't want it, but I got you on tonight.
Oh, it's okay. It's fine. I can wait. But anyway, Chris, but the last call is really the rivalry unrated, really? Are you kidding me? Anyway, great game last night. I hate the Giants. It was so great to seeing the fan falling apart last night.
I thought of you, Izzy, great. When they won last night, that check swing, I thought, what's Izzy thinking right now? How is she feeling about this?
I was happy, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow. I think I'll probably go to at least 6 games. I know David said they probably won't go back, but I don't know.
All right, we'll find out. It all begins tomorrow night. Izzy, check in with Dave on Dodger Talk tomorrow. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio. It's been a long day for everybody. Appreciate you staying up with us here on Off Night Dodger Talk on your Friday night. Thanks for spending it with us, whatever you're doing. Thanks to all you Dodger fans for being a part of the show. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck starts at 4 o'clock. 5:08 is the first pitch from Truist Park in Atlanta. Max Fried will go for the Braves. We'll find out who goes officially for the Dodgers tomorrow. Until then, have a great and safe Friday night. So long.
AM 570,
LA Sports.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.